Welcome to episode 41 of Kneel Before Odd. I'm Audrey Kearns, your host, and this is my second annual Kneel Before Odd San Diego Comic-Con edition, where I ask several folks at the con to tell me their nerd origin stories. And when I say nerd origin story, I'm asking these folks what event or events or influences made them fall in love with whatever they're most geeky about. And since these interviews took place at Comic-Con, you can bet the answers are super geeky. Now, my website, Geek Girl Authority, had a mixer at this year's con, which was really, really fun. And that's where I grabbed most of these interviews, including Stephen Moffat. Yes, that Stephen Moffat. Well, he really wasn't at the mixer. I wish I could lie and say he was. He was, let's just say he was mixer adjacent. And I'll explain more on that in a bit. But first, a very quick rundown of my con, because I had such a wonderful experience at this year's Comic-Con. I mean, it was bookended by magic. I got there with my husband, Brian, on preview night, which is Wednesday night, and we were going to go to the con floor and do all of our purchasing then before it got really busy and really hectic. And so we took the shuttle from our hotel to the convention center. And right when we're getting off the bus, I get a text from this guy named Mike McCafferty. Mike does a podcast called I Just Want to Talk About Star Trek, and he guested on my other podcast called Booze and Phasers. We had just met that night, but we definitely bonded on our mutual love of Star Trek. In fact, the very next night, I went and did a Star Trek contest with him, a trivia contest, where we won second place. So there's that. But back to the story. I got a text from him. I've only met him twice. And he says, hey, I just happened to have two tickets to the world premiere of Star Trek. Do you and Brian want them? And we're like, yes. So when he says the world premiere of Star Trek, he means the world premiere of Star Trek was happening at San Diego Comic-Con in just a couple hours. There was a lottery where you had to stay out and stay in line for tickets and everything. And we weren't even going to try the mess with that. We weren't even going to try the go. And he had two extra tickets. So we find out where he is and we start running there. And I'd say Brian and I are not made for running, but then again, neither is most of Comic-Con, so that's okay. So it took us about 15 minutes to find the place by the bay. It's at the Embarcadero. And I'm calling Mike, but he can't leave because then he can't get in. So he's like, I don't know how to get you these tickets. So it's almost like he's throwing the tickets through a chain link fence while the security guards aren't looking so I can get the tickets. But we get in and we find some seats. We sit with Mike and his crew, and Brian and I are just like giddy as school children. And so if you hadn't heard about this, it was a world premiere and it was on the world's first outdoor IMAX. And the San Diego Symphony was going to be playing the entire score while the movie was being shown. So, and there was also a complete red carpet going on while we were there. The whole cast and everything was being interviewed on the big screen. They had free food and ice cream, which was very satisfying for a bunch of Trekkies. I mean, come on. And also when you got in, you got these bracelets. And there are these white bracelets, and you can tell there's some kind of LED light in there, and nobody can figure out what the bracelets were. And I knew the symphony was playing. So I said to all the people at my party, I said, yeah, I bet you these hook up with the symphony somehow. And I was promptly ignored, which happens a lot, but that's okay. But nothing ever came of that. But I was convinced that the bracelets had something to do with that. And then all of a sudden, they're passing cushions down because they're these really uncomfortable folding chairs. And they're like cushions you'd sit on at a baseball park or something. And it says Star Trek Beyond there. So, you know, we're basically putting our butts on the Star Trek Beyond logo. And the lights get dark and it starts fogging. You know, they have fog machines and everything. And all of a sudden, there's a laser light show that begins. And guess what happens, people? Because the symphony starts playing. The bracelets light up in tune with the symphony and matching the laser light show. So I was right about that. What we didn't expect was a 20-minute fireworks show that could rival something like at the Statue of Liberty. This was like a really expensive, incredible fireworks display. I hadn't seen anything like that in years and years and years. It was just beautiful. So after the 20 minutes, the fireworks show, Conan O'Brien comes out on the stage, which was really funny because they said set up the symphony with no place for Conan to walk, and he's so tall. It was very funny watching him try to walk by the cellos and everything. And he comes out, and of course, he's entertaining the audience. He's being funny, and he brings the cast out one by one, including the director, Justin Lin, and including J.J. Abrams came out. And they all talked for just about a minute. And then Zachary Quinto talked about Leonard Nimoy and did the tribute for him. And then this is one of the most amazing things I've ever experienced. If you're a Star Trek fan, you know that in June, Anton Yelchin, who played Chekhov, died in a really freak accident. And this is really still fresh for the cast. You know, they're only a month out from his death, and they're having to do the press junket for the film. So J.J. Abrams gets the mic, and he says, you know, there's something missing here, and we all feel it, so we need to talk about it. And he mentions Anton Yelchin and his death, and that he was taken too soon. And then he says his parents are here. Anton's parents are here, and they are, you know, it's really heartfelt experience for them to see all of his fans here watching this movie. And now I would like to have a moment of silence. Now, I've been part of many moments of silence in my life, but I've never been through one that lasted so long. It was probably a true 60 seconds of silence and complete silence. There's thousands of people there, by the way. There was nobody rustling in their chair. There was nobody clearing their throat. It was like 3,000 nerds, you know, Trekkies, paying their tribute to Anton Yelchin. And it was so incredibly moving. And you can tell by the look on the cast's face that it was moving to them too, because they're still going through the grief of losing their coworker. And by the time the moment of silence was done, my husband, Brian, and I were crying because it was thinking that his parents are there experiencing this. And it was very, very overwhelming and yet so incredibly beautiful. And I'll never forget that as long as I live. So then the movie started. The symphony started, and there was a choir there too, but they had to put them backstage because they couldn't fit on the stage. So there were some vocalizations during some of the action scenes, and you could hear them singing. It was amazing. And the movie was fun. I'd give it a solid B. I'm a Trekkie forever, and I loved it. And Dr. McCoy steals this movie. It was really, really fun. Then the movie was over, and people just knocked down, the people that ran the place just were knocking down the chain link fences. And so I guess we're just walking over the chain link fences to leave, and there's still fog everywhere. This is actually fog from the bay now. And they're like, you're forgetting your bags. You're forgetting your bags. And we turn around, and we get a swag bag. We get a swag bag, and in the swag bag, well, first the bag itself, you can use it for shopping. We have our cushions that we're sitting on. Then we get a t-shirt, 4 DVDs, the director's cut. This is the coolest. The director's cut of Wrath of Khan, Star Trek 2009, Star Trek Into Darkness, and an interesting one that I didn't know about, an Origins DVD of the characters from the original series. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. A hat, a pin, a lanyard that I will use always and forever at every con that I go to from now on, because it's very comfortable. It's made of a nice natural fiber that lays lovely and sweet on your neck. Okay. So that was like the first bookend. That was day number one. So we had decided nothing could beat that. Our con is going to be so easy and breezy, you know, not a care in the world. And that's what it was. We went to a great panel with Brian Fuller and Stephen Green and Stephen Moffat on it. It was wonderful to hear Brian Fuller begged Stephen Moffat to write for Star Trek. It was hilarious. We went to the Wired Cafe party. We got into parties this year. It was really, really fun. I don't know why on earth people are letting us into their parties, but we went. We went to the sci-fi party, which was Magicians themed, their television show Magicians, which was really a nice affair. That was so fun. We danced the night away at Nerd HQ, and then we bought way too much merchandise on the floor. Brian got a super expensive Gandalf figurine at the Weta booth. And you want to get upset because he spent so much money on it. But then you look at this Gandalf figurine. I'll try to put a picture on the page. Check out this show page because it's absolutely stunning. And then, of course, it was from Weta, so what would you expect? And let's see. I got a Missy shirt and a River Song shirt at the BBC America booth. I raided the Star Trek booth and got these awesome like tumbler rocks glasses with a Starfleet insignia engraved on them. And then, of course, I had to get the ice cube tray. This is so ridiculous. This is going to get so much more ridiculous. An ice cube tray where the ice cubes are in the shape of the Star Trek insignia. And then I bought 3 sets of Star Trek underwear. And yes, if you think that's stupid, you are correct. I got home and unpackaged them to wash them, and they were so misshapen and odd and uncomfortable, and they didn't do the job that underwear is supposed to do. And honestly, I don't know what the job is that underwear is supposed to do, but I know for certain these new Star Trek panties weren't doing that job, and they failed hard. So that was a terrible impulse buy. I think it was my only bad impulse buy at the con, which is pretty good. Pretty good. Now on to the Stephen Moffat thing. As I said, this was the other bookend. So Wednesday was Star Trek and Saturday I met Stephen Moffat. And we were at the Geek Girl Authority Mixer, which was done in conjunction with with Booze and Phasers, my other podcast. And we had a lot of people there at this bar. And Stephen Moffat walks by and, you know, we're all staring at him. And he's basically in our party, but he's looking for a table for himself. And we're all like, you know, it's all really hushed. Oh, Stephen Moffat, Stephen Moffat, Stephen Moffat, Stephen Moffat. But nobody's going to say anything to him. But, and I have all my equipment with me because I'm interviewing everybody. So Heather Brooker, who you're going to hear in a second, my co-host from Booze and Phases, says, Audrey, you need to go ask him what his nerd origin story is. And I look at him and I can tell he has a kid with him who looks just like him. It had to be his son. And I was like, I can't, this is family time. He needs a break, you know, and I'm coming up with all these excuses, which, you know, help me indulge in my, if you might hear my dog right now, excuse me, indulge in my anxiety. And Heather just wouldn't let it go. She was a really good friend. She's like, no, you have to go ask him. You know, the worst he could do is say no. And I froze. And she said, Audrey, if I go ask Stephen Moffat to talk to you, will you be ready? And I said, yes, because I knew I would be ready. You know, once I'm in that mode, I'm fine. And so she goes and says, hey, Mr. Moffat, can we take just 5 minutes of your time? And can you talk to Audrey for that 5 minutes? And he said, yeah, just let me get my drink. So I went over to him, talked to him for about 2 minutes. I could have gone longer, but his son was right there, and I felt really weird about that. But I tell you, in the 2 minutes that he gave me, I got a very honest and sweet nerd origin story from him that had nothing to do with his work. It had something to do with him growing up. And I can't wait for you to hear it. I loved it so much that we bought him a can of wine to say thank you. And by that, I mean, later on in the evening, he came over to our table and said, thank you for buying me a drink. And we said, we didn't buy you a drink. And then he kind of put his head down and looked up and he goes, oh, great. Now I have to go find the person that bought me a drink. And he goes, please, all of you, don't buy me a drink. It's just don't buy me a drink. I don't want anyone to buy me a drink. And then he walked away. So we immediately bought him a drink, because that's what you do. And we wanted to make it funny, and they were selling cans of wine on the menu. So we sent him a can of wine that's with a note that said, Dear Mr. Moffat, we just wanted to let you know how we drink wine in America. And he got a big kick out of that and actually came back and talked to us for quite some time. So yes, he was actually at the mixer. And it was a great way to end my San Diego Comic-Con 2016. Okay, now you guys want to listen to that story. So let me tell you who is talking on these nerd origin stories. I'll tell you, in the 40 episodes I've done of Neil Before Odd, I've never heard some of these answers that you're going to hear before. You hear Star Trek a lot, you hear Star Wars a lot, but I got some different ones here, including telescopes, Daria, and He-Man. In fact, you'll probably hear me exclaiming way too much. I've never heard that one before. So let me tell you who we are listening to. First up, you're going to listen to my comrade, Heather Brooker, who helped me get this Stephen Moffat sit down. Heather is an actor, writer, and host and creator of the Motherhood in Hollywood podcast. Heather, along with myself and Claudia Dolph, also host Booze and Phasers, a fun podcast about Star Trek and drinking. And then I talked to the lovely Dinah McLean from Legion of Leia and Click Communications. Third up is Mr. Stephen Moffat, writer extraordinaire, executive producer of Doctor Who, creator and executive producer of Sherlock, with a resume a mile long. Can't wait for you to hear that. Following Mr. Moffat is the lovely Chris Morris. Chris is a friend of mine. He's a filmmaker and Geek Girl Authority contributor, and as he likes to say, a lapsed DC fanboy. Then we have Heather Harper. Now, she brings it to the table with He-Man. It's a really fun conversation. You'll enjoy it. And finally, I have a really great session with Marquita Lestar from Black Girl Nerds. You'll love that as well. So please, thank you for listening and enjoy my Comic-Con edition of Neil Before Odd.
Internet, heed this call. Open your minds and ears and prepare yourself to kneel before Odd.
Okay, I'm sitting here with Heather Brooker, one of my partners in my favorite podcast, Booze and Phasers, and a huge nerd. Heather, we're at SDCC. Are you having a good time?
I'm having so much fun, especially because there's a beer in my hands right now.
And I've got, this is my fifth glass of wine, so I'm having a great time.
We are living up to the Booze and Phasers legacy.
Yes, we bring it with us everywhere. Quickly, I want to go around and ask. We're at the Geek Girl Authority and Booze and Phasers meetup right now. So I'm going to go.
Mixer.
It's a mixer. And I'm going to ask everyone what their nerd origin story is. So I want you to tell me what your nerd origin story is.
I have a deep love of all things space. And I remember when I was little, my mom got me a telescope. And I used to love going outside in my backyard and putting up a telescope and just, like, seeing how many stars I could find.
Did you, go and find maps so that you knew what stars you were looking at?
I tried to find them all, and I would, like, I got little glow-in-the-dark stars, and I put them up on my ceiling in my room. And I just had so much fun. Like, I loved looking at stars. I loved daydreaming. And also, around that same time when my mom got me a telescope is when Next Generation came on.
Oh, and it all went hand in hand.
Yes, it was like this sort of, like, all-encompassing, like, oh my gosh, I love the space and stars and, like, daydreaming about what it would be like to travel in space. And here's this wonderful show with a really cute boy on it.
Whose name is Wesley Crusher.
Wesley Crusher. And
it's,
I was
so,
like,
crazy.
It was meant to be. So I watched Four of the Stars and I stayed for the Crusher.
I love it. I would change it just a little bit to say that telescope was your gateway drug into Crusher.
It totally was.
Yeah.
I still wish I remember very distinctly, like, how sad I was the day that we sold our telescope to, like, some other family or something. I was so sad.
Yeah, you missed it.
I loved my telescope. Like, I put stickers on it. Like, it was so awesome. And, like,
do you think you're a mom now? Do you think you'll get your daughter a telescope?
Oh, 100%. I want to get her a telescope. I want to get her a globe too. That was something my mom always did. Like, we would get out the globe and we would talk about the Earth. We would talk about where the continents were, where countries were. And so I sort of developed a love for the Earth and then surrounding planets and solar system and, like, all of this stuff. It sort of kind of snowballed into one.
I love it. You know, because usually my nerd origin stories are people that watch Star Wars first or Star Trek first. And this is so awesome that your gateway was an actual telescope in science.
It was actually science. Yeah. That's what I love, though, about Star Trek. And we've talked about this on Booze and Phasers before, how much Star Trek it seems more grounded in science than fantasy. Like, to me, Star Wars is fantasy, which is great.
Well, it's affected people at NASA.
Right.
Yeah.
But there's something about Star Trek that seems like it could actually happen.
Yes.
And that's what I love about it.
Agreed. Where can we find you on social media, my friend?
You can find me. I have my own podcast. It's called Motherhood in Hollywood. And you can find me on Facebook and Instagram at Motherhood in Hollywood. Also, follow me on Twitter at Heather Brooker or MIH Podcast. Just Google me. That's really all you need to do. There's many places.
I'd like to say one last thing.
Yes. I'll marry you.
I love you.
I love you too.
You knew it.
Aww.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Okay, so I'm here with Miss Dinah McLean.
Hi.
I'm going to ask you a question, Dino, which I ask everybody on Neil Before Odd, is what is your nerd origin story?
Well, you know, like many children of the 70s, I was raised on Star Wars.
Of course.
And so that was really, as a kid, I didn't know that that was a nerd origin story, but I definitely, there's pictures of me as Princess Leia when I was 4 years old. And
well, you don't realize it in the moment.
Not at all.
Yeah.
No, not at all. And so Star Wars wasn't something that was a nerd property. It was just something I loved. And I watched Next Gen with my family, and it was just something that we liked. And I watched the animated Batman series after school, and it was just something that I liked. But I think when I really got... I got obsessed with something, and I realized this is different from how other people consume media. I think it was Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
I've never gotten that answer for a nerd origin story. That's fantastic.
Really?
Yeah,
for Buffy.
You're the first person that's brought up Buffy.
I feel like Buffy's probably been a gateway drug for a lot of nerds, though.
I think so, too. Was it, what was it about Buffy? Was it being a woman being in charge, or was it the story?
It was a lot of things. The show was really great. The most important thing that got me into Buffy was it was my sisters were both really into it.
Right.
And I'd watched maybe one or two episodes, and my sister Amy, who's sort of my resident tastemaker, Amy's the one that was the one that said, "Why aren't you watching Battlestar? You will love this." And of course I watched it, and I was like,
"You're right. You had to listen to it. She's a good woman. I want to meet this Amy."
You should meet Amy. Amy is very, very smart, especially with the nerd properties. But Amy's been a sci-fi geek her whole life. She's been like reading the William Gibson and P.K. Dick, and she's always been like with everything. She loves sci-fi. But with Buffy, she couldn't understand why I wasn't watching it. And then when I started watching it, I didn't understand why I hadn't always been watching it. It was
You found home there.
I absolutely found a home. It's so relatable. And it's interesting, the thing about Buffy now, when you go back and watch it, it seems so dated, but you have to understand that having an ensemble coming together and solving problems, at the time, nobody else was doing it. You know, all the witty catchphrases, the way they talked at the time, no one else was doing it.
Well, so, I mean, this is what I feel about Buffy, and I kind of feel this way about X-Files, too. And I'm not going to use, I can't think of a better word right now than imitation, but a lot of new science fiction shows and a lot of new genre shows that have that kind of comedy and that dry wit, they're kind of emulating what Joss Whedon did with Buffy and X-Files, you know, and Chris Carter and everything.
Look, Scully and Mulder created the template for the will-they-won't-they tension and the colleagues and the friends and what is that relationship. Like, they created that template.
Right.
And they were the ones that created, like, this is what it's supposed to be like when people work together and weird stuff happens to them and, you know, what's going to happen. So they created that template. And Buffy also created a template for this is how much better it is to fight the forces of evil when you have your friends around you.
And that's so great. And the thing about Buffy, which is so interesting to me, is that if you're a teenager during that time, you can really relate to it. But a bunch of 30-year-olds, like myself, could watch that and be totally swept away.
Well, that's exactly what happened with my sisters and I. And the magical thing about Buffy is, I will tell you, I loved the story. I still watch it. Buffy is my chicken soup. It's
so it
my
holds
ice
up
cream.
For you.
It holds up for me, absolutely. But it's also, it was this magical thing where my sisters are much older than I am. We've got an 8-10 year gap with us. And the next thing I knew, you know, it's the late 90s, of course. It's, you know, so.
Yeah.
But we had these email chains going around. And the three of us are really breaking down. And that was the first time I really, and this is why I feel like this is sort of my nerd origin story, is because that's where I really realized it's not just about enjoying what I enjoy, but there's a lot more to be, you know, these properties, all these things we love can also be this gateway to examining the human condition if you really want to get into it. And
right.
I do. Yeah. I do want to get into it all day long, as it turns out. And it brought my sisters and I closer together. We're still really good friends, so I still have a soft spot because of that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still, like, it's comfort food to me now.
I love
watching
it.
Buffy.
That's fantastic. What was your best moment this weekend at Comic-Con? Or do you have one? Have you unloaded yet?
I've had two. I've had two. I got to sit in Wonder Woman's Invisible Jet.
Oh my goodness.
It was plastic, it was hot, it was a little cheesy, and that did not detract from the factor to me.
Because you were still sitting
because
in
I had
Wonder
a tiara,
Woman's jet.
They gave me a cape. They were like, would you like to wear a cape? Yeah. Yeah. I want the cape, I want the tiara, I want the bracelets, I want the whole nine.
I want everything.
I want the whole thing. If I can just be Linda Carter for a hot second right now, that would make my entire year.
I love it.
And that was amazing. And the other thing that I loved was MAC Cosmetics had the Star Trek
yes,
activation.
Yes, they did.
And it was so great because MAC is all about like empowering women. And you know what they love about Star Trek is that it has this diverse cast and a history of empowering women. So go in there and get some silver eyeliner and some purple lipstick and listen to some techno and hang out with girls that want to take care of you. And it was, and then we took pictures in the holodeck.
Right.
And it was not the holodeck. Where they be? Anyway, not the holodeck. You
I know
what I mean.
Yeah.
But they, it was.
Transporter
it was
room.
The transport. Thank you. I've had margaritas.
I've had 5 glasses of wine.
Awesome. Cheers.
I'm very excited that you and I have been able to carry this conversation for as long as we have. We're doing really well.
We're winning at podcasting right now.
Yeah, we're going to get an award for this interview right now.
I'm pretty sure it's going to be another drink.
Yes. Jenna, thank you so much. See, I couldn't even say thank you without tripping
You're
over.
You're welcome.
All right. You're
Three
awesome.
Syllables.
Love you.
Worked it out. Love you too. Thank you.
Hey, I'm Audrey Kearns. I'm sitting here with Stephen Moffat, the Stephen Moffat. Thanks. So I'll ask you really quickly what your nerd origin story is. Like, what was your first fandom thing?
Tragically and obviously, it was Doctor Who.
Of course, it was.
It was absolutely Doctor Who. And just to make sure that I'm a walking cliche, it was also Star Trek. So Star Trek came along
Thank
as well.
You. So you saw my pendant.
I love Star Trek.
I love Star Trek too.
And obviously, again, I mean, how much more obvious could it be? Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah.
But something to read.
Were you a voracious reader of,
yes, I
of
was,
Sherlock Holmes? Yeah.
A voracious reader of everything, but Sherlock Holmes was a particular favorite.
Was it more of an escapism kind of factor for you when you were watching Doctor Who or reading Arthur Conan Doyle?
Yes, I was quite horribly bullied at school when I was a kid, as many future geeks are.
Yeah, yeah.
And it used to be the sort of, you know, I'd make it all the way through those 5 days of school in utter misery, knowing that the doctor was waiting for me on Saturday. As the only hero I ever thought might like me.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, because he's that.
Because he's so accepting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's not a macho man. You know,
yes.
I can't think of another male hero like him.
I don't think there is one.
He might be the last one we've got.
Yeah.
The one who values intelligence and kindness over anything.
Mm-hmm.
Is there another hero like that? Most of the rest are like James Bond.
Mm-hmm.
I love James Bond. Nothing wrong with James Bond. Nothing wrong with James Kirk. They're great. But basically, there are people who are good at fighting who probably wouldn't like me.
Exactly.
Whereas the Doctor isn't good at fighting.
I think sometimes
he doesn't like fighting.
Yes, and I think sometimes with Star Trek, you have these characters that are newly part of Starfleet Academy or newly part of these crews, and so they're still building themselves, but you have Doctor Who, who's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years old, so he's been through it, and he knows.
Absolutely. And that wasn't me slagging off either James Bond or Star Trek. I love those.
Oh,
stuff.
I love them too. Star Trek is my nerd origin story. That was my way to escape, because I'm 6 feet tall, and I'm a girl, and when I was 5'10", I weighed 100 pounds, so I...
Karen Gillan's about that height. She's doing fine.
Thank you so much, and you're quite an inspiration.
Thank you.
Enjoy your Comic-Con, and thanks for letting me interrupt you.
That's all right.
All right, take care. Okay, I'm sitting here with Chris Morris right now, who is a comic book creator, a film writer, and all-around nerd. How are you doing, Chris?
I'm an all-around nerd.
You are.
So I'm awesome.
Yeah, it's the best kind of people.
That's right,
right,
I think so.
Yeah. What's your nerd origin story?
Nerd origin story? Well, I have... I remember two vivid. I can't remember which one is first, so I'm gonna
do both of them. Yeah.
So, real quick, I remember my dad taking me. First of all, I should say I had those read along books.
Yeah.
With like Star Wars and Empire and Return of the Jedi. Kind of ignored Empire when I was a kid because it was like, you know, deep and dark, and
it was super dark.
It was super dark. I didn't appreciate it until I was a teenager. Right. But anyways, I had those read along books, so I knew what was gonna happen for the most part. So my dad took me to Return of the Jedi, the movie, in a theater in Dawson Creek, B.C., a small town, one screen, and probably like 50 people.
Uh-huh.
And I narrated the whole movie.
Wow.
Out loud, I'm sure. And he was just, along the whole way, he was like, that's interesting. Oh, good. Okay, Christopher, whatever you say. And It was just the most
Was he looking at you funny, or he was oh, no, he like, he was oh, like, no. I love you, son. That's awesome.
Pretty much. Yeah. That's how I remember it.
Of course. And that's probably how it was. I just think that's amazing.
If we asked him, we'd probably get a different version. But anyways, but I can only imagine, like, all the people, like, now being a person who was in a theater and watch movies, I can only imagine the people around us, like in the theater. It's like, shut that kid up.
God, what's wrong with you, sir? Just put the muzzle on him.
Exactly. I can only imagine. And secondly, it involves my mom. There was one time where the dads, we had these friends, the Jangulas. The dads had to go away for a reason. I can't remember why. So the moms got together and they actually rented a VCR for the first time ever. The first time we'd done this.
We're showing our age now.
Still up in Dawson Creek, BC. Yeah, exactly. Showing our age. And they rented Star Wars, and they rented Superman. Christopher Reeve Superman. And
two completely different genres, basically.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. But I, of course, loved both of them and fell in love. But I remember vividly at one point, I think during Superman, or it was actually maybe during the openings of Star Wars with the ships and everything like that, even that early on, wondering, getting up and asking my mom, when's the commercial? So I can go to the bathroom. So I remember that.
And she's like, that's not the way it works.
Yeah, it's like, you can hit pause, son. It's like,
Did
cool.
Superman, that experience, lead into your love of comic books? Or had that already happened?
Well, I have a more, like a third sort of sort of fuzzy memory, actually. Uh-huh. I was seeing a spinner rack for the first time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and actually I did a blog on my new website that I just launched, thesuperscomicbook.com.
Mm-hmm.
I'm launching my comic book, The Supers, the third best superhero team in the world. I did it myself on Squarespace.
That's fantastic.
Pretty cool. Yeah. I did my first blog. It was all about my influences and why I could remember, at least.
Uh-huh.
And I remember it was a World's Finest, I think 261, Superman and Batman teaming
That's
together.
Fantastic, yeah.
And against Miss Dr. Double X.
Uh-huh.
There was two of them. And one fought Superman, one fought Batman. And I remember that being the first comic I ever... I don't know if it is. That's the one I remember.
Yeah.
That's the first one I ever really got. It was on a spinner rack, and I was like, what is this? And you spin it around. And I always wanted to get Justice League or World's Finest or DC Comics Presents, because those are always team-up books.
Yeah.
DC Comics Presents was the Superman team-up. Uh-huh. Detective was Batman team-up. And World's Finest, of course. And, of course, Justice League, which had everybody.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, a third
fuzzier one. So you kind of went, but you went super into DC first.
Yes, I'm a DC guy.
Yeah.
Later on, I appreciated Marvel as sort of a jealous DC fan. I remember in the early days of the internet reading on Ain't It Cool News, the reviews of comic books every week, every Wednesday. And there'd be like 10 reviews, 7 of them would be Marvel, like maybe 2 would be DC, and there'd be one indie from Vertigo or something like that, or Image or Top Cow. So I was being like, why is there more DC? And I always remember that. And so that's sort of like a jaded DC fanboy growing up.
Well, for those of you guys listening, visit geekgirl30.com and put in Chris Morris in the search bar. And he has some really incredible articles about DC and the DC universe. And also, you're a cinephile. You know, there's a lot of great stuff on movies that you write
the
for
Oscars
us as well.
And things like that. Yeah.
So
there's lots of knowledge in this brain. It's just have to get out somehow.
Yeah. Well, you're starting with a super, so...
Thankfully, we found each other, so I can get this stuff out, you know, into the world and not
By the way, folks, this is a Twitter friendship that became a real friendship.
Yes, absolutely.
Which is really neat, I think.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
That's where I met online, and...
Yeah.
And then,
and now we're sitting here at Comic-Con.
Exactly.
It's awesome. Well, thanks so much, Chris.
Thank you, Audrey.
Okay, I'm sitting here with Heather Harper at San Diego Comic-Con. It's been a great con so far.
Yeah.
Are you having a good time, Heather?
Yeah, I am. It's actually been... Well, we came kind of on a whirlwind trip, so we're just here.
Well, you're like... It's a 24-hour turnaround trip.
Literally 24 hours of Comic-Con this year.
Yeah. Have you packed stuff in?
Yeah, I mean, we saw quite a bit. I mean, we got to go on the floor, walk around all kind of the outside stuff, get into a few parties, see lots of different people. I mean,
it was fun.
Danny Trejo, Will Arnett, all in one day.
Those
are
some good sightings, my friend.
Yeah.
Now, you're an actor yourself, right?
Yes.
And one question I ask everybody on this podcast is, what is their nerd origin story? So, what's your nerd origin story, Heather?
Well, probably the earliest memories I have of anything that I would classify as nerd would be at 3 and 4 years old, I loved He-Man.
Oh, that's so young, and that's so awesome. No, that I can see that. I mean, He-Man left, like, a legacy for people in the 80s.
I
mean, yeah,
I had Castle Grayskull. I had a He-Man sleeping bag. I
love it.
And then I moved on to She-Ra, and I had my sisters, and I have two younger sisters, and I had She-Ra pajamas with a Velcro cape.
I'm in love with you right
now.
That
it was
so
like
awesome.
I was cosplaying from age 5.
Really. Yeah. So. Well, that's great because you're younger than me because I had all the 70s stuff. So you had those 80s things that were really big that my brother and sister were into. Did you ever, when you were watching He-Man, say, I think he needs a better haircut?
The boxy
just a thought.
Hair?
Just
I don't know.
The page boy, the bangs, and the... just a thought.
I don't know, but he did have the awesome purple tiger. So.
He did have the awesome purple tiger.
Well, you know what, though? The way his hair kind of blew back a little with the animation. I don't know. I loved it.
That's great.
I have a compilation DVD of She-Ra and He-Man that my parents found for me a couple of years back that they put together.
Oh, that's nice.
That's all some of the original.
I love
He-Man.
That your parents know your nerd.
Oh, God, yeah. They'll send me. I think my mom sent me some VHS of Strawberry Shortcake the other day. I mean, so, yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. What's out, like, right now? Is there anything out right now that you're into?
Oh, my gosh. I just finished Stranger Things on Netflix.
Oh, my God. We're on episode 7.
I'm in love with it. I adore it.
Did you see it coming? I didn't know it was coming out.
And all of a sudden
I saw all this.
I had seen a little like blurb on Twitter or something, and I watched the promo, and I was like, I have to see this show. Like
it's so,
and then I was
good.
Obsessed the second we started. I was like, this is an incredible show, and from beginning to end. So I can't wait for you to see the last episode.
Oh, I can't wait! I can't wait!
So good.
I almost thought I saw a spoiler the other day, and it wasn't, but it was really cool. It was someone saying that they just watched it with their daughter.
Yeah.
And at the end of it, she said, can I have an 11 doll?
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, which made me really happy. I was like, yeah.
I really love that. And that character is kind of the breakout character of the whole show.
She's amazing.
And that actress is incredible.
Well, there was a show that only lasted one season on BBC America called Intruders. And she was like the child star in that.
Yeah.
And when we saw the first episode of Stranger Things, I'm like, oh my God, that's the girl who made that show. You know, every once in a while you find a child actor who's just freaking amazing, and that's who she is.
She was so good.
So you're leaving tonight.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite thing that happened to you in the last 24 hours? There's a lot that happened.
I know.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, the sci-fi party was fun that we
that
went
was
to last
a
night.
A great time.
It was just kind of, it was fun. It had the whole feel because it was well themed too.
Yeah.
So when you got up there and it had like the potion bottles and like the really cool setup. And
that's right, because it was magicians themed.
Magicians for the show on sci-fi, which I do watch. So
and I felt it wasn't too Hollywood.
No, it felt laid back.
Yeah, it was super laid back for a lot of the parties that are down here.
I felt like we could all chill and hang out and talk, but also dance around and have fun. And they had some good food later on,
that's
too.
That's awesome. Well, thanks for talking with me, Heather. And I have to say, I've been doing Neil Before Odd, my podcast, for 2 years now.
Oh, yeah.
And not one person has ever said He-Man is their nerd origin story, so you're the first.
Yes.
And thank you very much.
Thank you, Audrey.
All right, this is Audrey, and I'm with my next interview, Marquita LaStar. How are you doing?
I'm good.
So what's your nerd origin story?
Origin story. Okay, so
If there's more than one, tell me more than one.
Well, it's not one. I think the thing is I had like a Revenge of the Nerds moment. Where I can't remember his
name.
Like
the movie moment?
The movie. Where,
I've never had anyone say that. That's fantastic.
and where you know, it's the guy with the thick black glasses, and he thinks he's cool. He thinks he's in,
he's one of the Carradine, right?
Yeah. And he's like, I'm cool. And then, like, no. Somebody's like, finally, like, slides up to him. It's like, no. You're a nerd. You're so a nerd.
And you celebrated that?
I celebrated it because
that's fantastic.
I was just that weird chick that did a lot of weird stuff.
So what is one of the first nerd shows you ever loved? Or comic or book or whatever?
I remember, I absolutely loved Daria.
Yes.
And she was like...
She was awesome.
She's so awesome. And she was smart. And she was like... She was getting it in with her like jokes and whatnot. And I remember that being like the first person, I guess, who was like considered like that nerdy outcast. Like, to me, like, nerd is like that smart dude or chick that you really should pay attention to in high school, because they're going to go somewhere. They're about stuff.
Yeah.
And they're interesting. Like, Daria was so real and so interesting. And then I loved your friend Jane and all the misadventures. And, you know, when Jane got her rich boyfriend that was obsessed with being poor.
I love this. And what made you start what you're doing right now with your website?
So I was doing science, and there's like a lot of politics in science, and science is becoming increasingly commercialized. And so I was like, I guess I graduated from high school during the Bush 2 years. And there's just this attitude towards science, and like, people don't seem to understand what you can't and can't do with it, but they're quick to regulate and say you can't do something with something because of this and that. Right. And I was seeing a lot of that. So I was interested in going, when I wanted to go to grad school, I wanted to do gene therapy.
Wow.
That's what I was really interested in doing. So I wanted to do, like, I was thinking of like a bioengineering focused on gene therapy, because I wanted to come up with templates to cure genetic diseases, because I thought that's where medical science was going to need research, because at the time we were quickly closing the book on infectious diseases, and genetic diseases were becoming like the biggest thing that we were really dealing with, and that's until the anti-vaxxer movement shows up. People, you know, and I always like to ask those people, I was like, who's the last person you knew with polio? But, you know, that's
I'm on your side on that one.
That's the intersection of knowing history with science. If you knew that, you would know how awesome it is. So I got a little disillusioned with that, and I was kind of like looking for a new direction in my life. And I was also looking at for something that I could champion all these different interests, the art, video, media, tech, computer programming, talking about pop culture and social issues and stuff. So I kind of got into journalism, like, on the side. And so I've been, like, writing articles, and, like, I do, like, mostly, like, online outlets. Like, even if it's for a big outlet, it's, like, on their online thing. So I'm obsessed just with everything that is online. And I was following, actually, Jamie Bernox's before I came on, so this is like 2 years ago, and she like did an SOS, like, you know, her site was growing at a huge rate, and, you know, she just need there's things she couldn't do that she needed help with. So I took over the social media, and my role just kind of expanded, where now I'm like doing a lot of our community management, talking to other people, trying to continuously build our brand and let people know that we're here and what we're doing and how inclusive we are and how it benefits other people that hear these stories, as well as let our own community know, our focus, know that we're out here for us, so they can come and see what we have to offer as well.
That's fascinating. That's really fascinating how you arrived to that and everything. So where can people find you on the interwebs, my friend?
Oh, the interwebs? Jamie does the Twitter for Black Girl Nerds, but we have a sister Twitter called Black Girl Geeks, and that's the one I curate and speak on. So if you want to come holler at me at Black Girl Geeks, you're talking to me. Actually, my personal handle is listed in the bio, which is Lestar Got Next, which is my last name. So that's Lastar Got Next on Twitter. And pretty much that's on everything. That's like my Snapchat. That's my Instagram. I decided at the beginning of the year just to make it like uniform instead of having like all this random stuff.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right. Well, how was that? I hope you enjoyed it. Thank you so much for listening. Please visit geekgirlauthority.com. Lots of fun stuff there. News, shows, fandom. You can visit the site and put in Neil Before Odd Comic-Con in the search bar and get the social media information for all my guests. You can also see some pictures of what I was talking about at the Star Trek premiere. I have a picture of Stephen Moffat and myself up there when I was actually interviewing him, and a picture of all the swag from the swag bag, because, you know, you want to see that. So visit the page, and then you can see a whole bunch of other wonderful tidbits on the Geek Girl Authority page. You can also follow me on Twitter at Audrey Kearns, K-E-A-R-N-S, and on Instagram at Audrey Kearns _. Also, check out my latest podcast called Booze and Phasers. It's really fun. We just wrapped up episode 8. It's a super boozy show and a super Trekkie show, and I'm so excited about this one. I think you'll really enjoy it. You can find that on Geek Girl Authority or on the podcast channel GiantSizeTeamUp.com. So there you go. I'm Audrey Kearns, and remember, live now, make now, always the most precious time. Now will never come again.
Supplicants, you may now rise. The merciful Odd has chosen to spare you. Please exit the internet to your left.